to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension beef educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we will be discussing the article titled Adjusting Pasture and Hay Ground Leases for 2019. To discuss this topic, I'm joined today by Alan Vanalek, who's a Nebraska Extension educator. Thanks for joining me today, Alan.
Thanks very much for having me on, Aaron.
Well, Alan, as we record this podcast, we're looking at a situation across much of the state where the flooding that occurred in March and also has occurred since that time damaged pasture and hay ground. Now, in many cases, the owners of that ground and the tenants who lease that ground are in a situation where they need to come to some kind of equitable arrangement to adjust the rental rate. Share with our listeners some things that they might be thinking through, both the owners and the tenants, to come up with an equitable, fair way to adjust the rental rate.
Well, in my opinion, the first thing we have to do is assess the damage and then talk about who's going to fix that damage, who's going to work on that damage that's happened out there in those pastures and hay grounds up against the river. You know, flood damage can be categorized in two types in my view. One I call the hard work and the other I call the heavy work. And I don't think people probably appreciate that, but let me explain for a second. The hard work will usually include the hand labor and light work that's associated with the usually the farmers or ranchers pieces of equipment that they already own to remove branches, piles of corn stalks, other trash debris, other obstacles that were deposited in the field. Most of the time, the farmers and ranchers themselves have the equipment to do that. And in addition, there might be, if there isn't a complete loss of the land or area, then you might have some equipment then involved in retilling and reseeding some of that area for weak or partial stands. In the case of pastures, the other hard work maybe include fixing the livestock infrastructure like fence, water, windmill, tower, etc. In some cases, these fixes would be relatively easy. However, in many cases, completely new infrastructure may be needed to be installed. So depending on what needs to be done, this could easily move into what I call the heavy category work. Now, the heavy category work may not need to be done at all, but if it does, it would involve heavy equipment like bulldozers, scrapers, graders, motor graders, anything like that to take care of major problems, major deposits of land, fixing holes, fixing gullies, removing sandbars, moving topsoil around, taking care of the ruts, all that sort of the new channels that were developed with the flooding. In both cases, the hard work and heavy work are primarily the responsible of the landlord. The landlord bears the responsibility of providing the tenant with land that can be ready to be utilized. I know that's going to put a burden on some landlords, especially the elderly ones. So we have to start the communication process early and often. Many times the tenants are probably going to provide, as I mentioned before, some of the hard work I described above, moving some of the debris, getting some reseeding done. And when that happens, it's very appropriate, I think, necessary for the landlord to acknowledge that effort and acknowledge it in a way that includes a reduction of rent, especially for this year, and as you suggested, maybe in years to come going forward. So there's hard work and heavy work that has to be done, and it's primarily the landlord's responsibility. However, I think the tenant's going to be willing to help and going to be willing to work out there very, very hard. And so we have to acknowledge all that and think about how we're going to adjust the lease.
One of the other things that enters into this with that landlord-tenant relationship is that there are some programs available to help with cleanup, with restoration of land, with fixing of fence through FSA. But doing that requires some pretty strict documentation in order to get compensation. Share with the listeners some things that they better think through and really be prepared for to make sure that they're in compliance if they're planning to use those programs.
So it looks to me like in quite a few counties in Nebraska, the emergency conservation program from FSA is going to be available. As a matter of fact, I happen to own ground in Saline County myself that was qualified for emergency conservation program funds about 5 or 6 years ago. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that you better have very good documentation. And what I would suggest there is get your cell phone out or other camera out and take picture after picture after picture and make sure you log all the work that gets done on some kind of a notebook or some way or electronically, some way keep track of everything you did, the supplies used, the hours of labor, the equipment used, and all the hours on the equipment. Log all of those expenses. The emergency conservation program monies may become available in your area, and in having that great documentation would be key to qualifying for that money. I know that in my case, I made the application, and it was just kind of automatically turned down. So what I would suggest is that you have to be ready to appeal. I don't know what the track record on this is for sure, but you could get turned down. So be ready to appeal. And with my appeal, I prepared that with the pictures, with the other documentation, with the amount of work that was done, the hours, and all that sort of thing. And the appeal went through easy. A unanimous vote in favor of spending the money to help me out on that appeal. But I had to have the documentation. I had to have the pictures showing the damage. So please make sure you document well. And that means taking a good set of pictures. And that means writing down everything you did out there in terms of hours and labor and that sort of thing. So you can get money if it comes available from emergency conservation programs. And that's a 75% cost share. So please be sure to take advantage of that if you can.
One of the other things that I think is going to take place on these pasture and hay grounds is we had the flooding itself, which could impacted water well sources. And so obviously those are going to need to be checked and tested before we start them up and utilize them. Another thing that's going to be an issue is when we have this flooding and we have disturbance of ground, the incidence of greater weed pressure is going to be occurring as well. And so that's not just going to be a one-year event, but a multiple-year event. Give some perspective on how both landlord and tenant might want to think about that as well.
Well, typically, when we talk about, and you have experience with this too, Aaron, but when we talk about pasture or hayland weed control, I think of the eastern red cedar, the volunteer cedar trees, and some of these volunteer tree issues as being a landlord expense. And I think of the annual weeds as being a tenant expense. But I think in the case where we have pasture that's been, or hay ground that's been wiped out, just with a layer of sand on it, something like that, I think that you're going to have a conversation about who's going to try and do what there. And quite honestly, I think that typically, you kind of think of a pasture or hay ground, especially at least as being a 50-50 deal. Well, I think maybe, the cost of some of that annual weed control could be shared at some level, probably 50-50. That's just a kind of a suggestion. But whatever fits your situation, or maybe the tenant's providing the equipment to make the application and landlord provides the chemical, you'll have to just kind of come up with that. And you have to think about how you're going to mitigate or take care of reseeding. And going back to that water thing quick, be sure that you contact your local extension office for water testing kits. So also check with the owner's insurance if they have insurance on the well to see if the damage to that well is covered if there is damage to the well. So just double check all those things. It's going to be more of a communication thing than it is going to be. We have, you and I have a research study or a textbook that tells us how to take care of this. What the two parties agree to is going to be way more important than anything you've got to say about how to mitigate or take care of this flood damage area.
We've talked about the damage and talked about some different ways to think about what might be fair in terms of working both the tenant and the landlord. Now let's talk a little about getting down to the nitty gritty. What might be a fair adjustment for pasture or hay ground in terms of the rent that's due and trying to figure out what's fair based on loss that's occurred?
Yeah, so typically a pasture rent in Nebraska is going to be a 5-month grazing season. In eastern Nebraska, it's going to be from May 15th to October 15th, kind of a typical set of dates. And you go further west, especially as you get past Grand Island, then it's probably more of a June 1st and November 1st, 5-month grazing season. And so the grazing season, 5-month grazing season, is kind of the norm that we set our pasture rents up on. So if you're paying by the cow-calf pair, which is very typical from 281 or Grand Island on west, if you're paying by the pair per year, you're taking a per-month rental rate. Let's say it's $40 a month. I don't know, that may be low in most areas, but $1 a month per cow-calf pair times a 5-month season would be $200 a pair. If you can't get out there, and just because nothing's growing until July or August, then you would need to reduce that rental rate down by the amount that you reduce the grazing season. In other words, if you only have a 2.5-month grazing season, then you should only maybe think about getting $20 a pair instead of having to give $20 a pair instead of $40 a pair. Because obviously that person who owns the cattle is going to have to buy feed in the meantime, or if feed's available, or do something else, or find other pasture. Have to come up with a plan to get this taken care of. So that's how I would think about that. Now, if you're on a per acre basis, yes, eastern Nebraska, per acre basis is very common. Then if you're getting $50 an acre per the grazing season, you would maybe say, okay, so instead of a 5-month grazing season, I got a 4-month grazing season. So it's only 4/5 of that, or $40 an acre. So that pretty easy. 5 month grazing, so you $10 a month per acre. So you just take the $10 off. For hay ground or alfalfa rent, most of that is done in Nebraska is done on a share basis. So if it's done on a share basis, and typically the share is 50% for the landowner, 50% for the tenant, then the share is just simply whatever you harvest or whatever you get. So if you get less, you know, there's less of a share. That'll adjust itself relatively easy. If you're on some other method, like on a per acre basis, for instance, then again, if you're losing, if you've lost 20% of the production or 30% of the production, then you reduce the rent by 20 or 30%. That's just a place to start. I understand that landowners have to pay taxes on all this land, and in some cases, the pasture rent barely covers taxes, let alone covering any return to the investor. But I think we also have to understand that we don't have hay out there or pasture out there to feed our cattle and other sheep and other livestock, then that tenant has to either buy feed or come up with other pastures, which is going to cost them more money. So I think both parties are going to have some financial pain here. And I don't know any way around that. And I think both parties should have that honest discussion, not trying to take advantage of the other party, but understand that everybody's going to share some of the pain and figure out how we're going to adjust this rent.
I think one of the things that comes to mind for me is I can see situations where both the tenant and the landlord in seeking to put this land back into production are going to make a significant investment. What would be the approach of thinking about maybe a conversation around length of lease? I think I'm willing to, as a tenant, probably to do some things if I know I've got a little longer term lease on a piece of ground than if it's just a year-to-year deal. How does that fit into this situation?
Well, it absolutely fits, and I think it's absolutely important to consider that. And quite honestly, I think you're going to kind of assess or figure out about how much work and effort you got to put into putting this pasture or this hay ground back into production. And so, if you're investing a significant amount of money or a significant amount of resources to get that done, I think it's not unreasonable to expect a 3 to 5 year lease, maybe even up to a 7 to 10 year. Depends on how bad the damage is and how quick you can bring it back. I think that people need to be flexible about that. I think that the people need to show some loyalty on that. But then that's just me talking off of what I think ought to happen between landlord and tenant. I think that there has to be some good loyalty there, saying that if the tenant's going to put up significant amount of work and significant amount of effort into getting this land back into production for that landlord, then the tenant ought to be rewarded with a longer lease at some kind of a discounted rate, a little bit of a discounted rate anyway, to make that party whole again, or not whole, but to try and get him back the best you can. You may have a magic bullet on that. I do not. I just think that it has to be discussed. And I think we have to set greed aside. It's not the time to worry about greed right now. We just have to figure out what we're willing to lose, and figure out what the other party's willing to lose, and then kind of come at it from that standpoint and figure out how we're going to get through this the best we can.
Anything else you'd like to add as we point towards wrapping this up?
Yeah, so people can call you. You're a great resource on pasture leases. People can call me. I'm in the Department of Ag Econ. I'm at 472-1771. You can also got regional extension economist educators out there. Austin Dürrfeld in the Southeast, Jim Jansen in the Northeast, Robert Tickner in West Central, and Jessica Grosskopf out in the Panhandle. They'll also be willing to help, and that's our team of extension educators working in ag economics that can help on this issue. And if they, if they don't feel comfortable, they'll find the person who is comfortable. Troy Waltz in Broken Bow, Aaron Berger, where you're at in the Panhandle, and me on campus. Any of us can try and jump in and do the best we can.
Thanks for joining me today, Al.
Thanks for having me.
So for more information on the article that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, I'd encourage you to visit the beef.unl.edu website. Again, the title of the article is Adjusting Pasture and Hay Ground Leases for 2019. In the article, you'll be able to find contact information for the extension educators that Alan mentioned.